Let's please turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 2, verse 11. And we ended, or the title last week was, "What Injustice Have Your Fathers Found in Me?" It was God saying, who is the perfect husband. Would we agree? You know, we're the bride of Christ. He's a perfect husband. There's nothing wrong with him. And yet, people don't want to be married to Jesus, and he's the perfect husband and the perfect God. And God asked the Jews, "What did I do to you?" And their answer should have been, "Oh, you haven't done anything to us, so why don't we stop worshiping idols? Why don't we confess to you that we've done what you told us not to do, and we haven't gotten any better for it? In fact, our cities are being invaded by Egyptians, and you're telling us that, you know, Jeremiah was telling them that the Babylonians are coming, and, you know, they're burning our cities, they're torching, and we, in northern Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel have already been completely conquered by the Assyrians and scattered through the Assyrian Empire, and, you know, because they worshiped idols, and, you know, we should learn from that, and we want to repent and confess our sins to you." They didn't do that. And God is, you know, the emotion of God in this section of Scripture is just really incredible. "What injustice have I done to you?" And, you know, the verses we ended with was 11 through 13 we'll cover as a lead-in. How has a nation changed its God? Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? Have other nations done that? No. "But my people, the Jews, have changed their glory," me, you know, changed from the glory of God, "for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And he, you know, we're going to see in the next chapter, after we get into chapter 3, that he equates this to marriage. God's going to say, you know, "I married you. And if a wife divorces, you know, runs off with another man, is it allowed by the law for her to come back? Absolutely not. You know, the law says you cannot go back to the original husband. But I'm saying come back. Confess your sins, come back, repent, and come back." So God is actually saying, I'm so merciful, I'm going to be more merciful than my law allows in a human standpoint. I just want you to come to me and repent. And, you know, that same God calls people from anywhere in the world today during the church age. He's saying, "I don't care if you've murdered, I don't care if you've done drugs, I don't care what you've done. Just come to me. Just confess your sins and come to me." So, verse 14, is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? Why are the nations plundering your cities? Why have you all of a sudden become slaves to other nations that are coming and stealing your stuff and taking you and enslaving you? Why is that happening? Verse 15, the young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the people of Noph and Tophonus have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, and that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now, why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or why take the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the river of Euphrates? The Egyptians, you know, the Assyrians had come down and burned their cities. You know, the Assyrians were all but destroyed Jerusalem, but God miraculously protected them. The Assyrians did take all the northern 10 tribes away. So Israel experienced, you know, these people coming to them. And what is Israel doing when now Babylon's getting ready to come? Who do they run to? They run to the Egyptians. Instead of running to God and saying, "God, forgive us for our sins that are causing all this oppression," they run to the Egyptians. "Hey, we want to make a deal with you, and we'll pay you some money, and you'll help us to fight the Babylonians." Why are you doing that? Why are you going? These people have fought you. They have burned your cities, and you're running to them instead of to God, is really what he's talking about. With your own, why is it happening? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of ghosts, Lord of hosts. And this is the title of today. It's an evil thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. Once again, as we've been trying to, you know, bring it to front and center to today, has our country forsaken God? It is an evil thing that we have forsaken God. And so God would be saying to us today, he goes, man, is your country falling apart? Are you disastrous? Are you $33 trillion in debt? Are your cities being invaded? Are they completely turning around to idolatry? Why is that happening? Because you went after the idols of the world. You forsook the streams of living water, and you went to cisterns that don't hold water. And so the Jews were going and trying to pal around with the Assyrians at first, and then the Egyptians to help them against their enemies. And then those enemies actually end up coming to destroy them. Have we palled around with the gods of the foreign nations? Have we palled around with Islam in the country? Have we made it so that you can be an anti-Christian, but you can't be Islamophobic, or you're gonna be canceled in your social media, etc.? And so we're palling around with Islam, with the Satan God Allah, and what's gonna happen? You know, and once again, there's increasing TikTok and other kind of videos where these Muslims are saying, we're coming for you. We're in your country. We're coming for you. We're going to take over the world. Now, they're not going to take over the world. How do we know? From a very reliable source, the globalists or the Western Empire. But the globalists are going to want massive death and confusion, and they've made sure it's going to happen. They've mixed us. They've mixed these foreign nations with us, and they're on a mission to kill us, and so then they've planned civil war. And you know, they're going to get it. And there's going to be destruction. And why? It's not going to be, it's because of Biden and the Democrats and the demoniacs and stuff. No, it's because collectively our entire country has turned away from God. As I've said, it's not in our media. You can't get a praise Jesus out of any news story that's anywhere in the media. A truly biblical blockbuster movie that comes out with the true gospel of salvation with Jesus. You can't have anything in the school systems that talks positively about the Bible. You know, the movies and TV shows all make a mockery of anybody who actually believes in this Bible. And that's why it's coming. And that's what God told, Judah. Man, what's happening to our country? You left me. That's what God's saying. You left me. That's what you did. And that's an evil thing. For of old I, God, verse 20, have broken your yoke and burst your bonds. When did that happen? Setting him free from Egypt. He goes, look at what I did for you. Instead of enslaving you, like these people in these nations that you run after their gods for, of old, back in Mount Sinai, I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, setting you free from Egypt. And you said at the bottom of Mount Sinai, as we've been covering in our Exodus study, I will not transgress. Remember when they said that? I will not transgress. When on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down playing the harlot. That's what you said back in Sinai, and what are you doing now? Every high hill is a high place where you worship your various different gods. Today, you'd be calling yourself a Christian, you're rejecting the God of the Bible. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you believe Jesus is the only way? No, that was old. That's, you know, can't you loosen up a little bit? There's lots of roads that lead to heaven. You know, Jesus didn't want us to be that bigoted. Jesus is not bigoted. He just tells us the truth. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And we're his ambassadors. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into a degenerate plant of an alien vine? Answer, they were not thankful to God. They didn't read his word. They were deceived into the lust and pleasures of idol worship. They didn't love God. That's why. How did they go from being where they were at Mount Sinai, receiving the law, and even entering the promised land under Joshua, or even the highlights of the King David, who truly allowed the nation to be ruled by the word of God, those great days of King David, what happened? They turned away from God. They stopped reading the word of God. They didn't care what it said. They didn't want to do what it said. They wanted to rebel against God. And New Testament, you know, fake Christians that become terrorists. They say they believe, but they don't. Why? They don't care what the Word of God says. You know, if somebody says, I'm a Christian, how much do you read the Bible? Oh, I don't read the Bible. There's something wrong with you. Because so what God puts inside of us is, this is His love letter to us. This is how we get to know Him. And to love Him as your God is to know, is to want to know Him. And I've used the analogy of, you know, people that were receiving, you know, letters from their wives in boot camp or whatever else, they didn't throw it off to the side and say, what are you doing? I'll get to it maybe in a month from now. Really? You love your wife? You know, you would never do that with a letter from a person that you cared about and that you loved, and yet the whole, most of Christendom doesn't even read the Word of God. And we need to encourage people, and it's my go-to question all the time. I just mentioned it to a young man that, you know, is kind of a friend of the family. And I said, how's your Bible reading going? Oh, it should be better. Well, at least I thought, man, at least he's humble enough to say that. And I know he knows that I know I want to hear that. but it was a humble response. I go, there's hope for the young man. You got to read it, because this is God trying to get you to understand and trust and believe in Him. It should be, we should be able to ask each other that. What are you getting out of the Word of God today? For though you wash yourselves with lye, which is, you know, strong soap, verse 22, and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. You're still dirty. You can try and clean up all you want. How can you say, I'm not polluted? Yeah, an old dirty person, you know, you're so dirty you couldn't even wash up with lye and soap. Well, I'm not dirty. How can you say you're not dirty? I have not gone after the Baals, you know, the Baals, the false gods. And they would actually deny the facts that are before them. They know that on the top of all the hills, they're worshiping idols. And God is rebuking them for worshiping idols. And they're saying, we haven't gone after them. I don't really pray to the statue of Mary. I'm not worshiping her. I just pray to her. I just pray to that statue of Mary. We're not worshiping. We're not violating the idolatry commandment of the Bible. That's actually what Catholics say. We just pray to her. And we ask her to talk to Jesus for us. It's idolatry. They were denying the idolatry that was staring them right in the face, which is, you know, the Bible says in the last days, people will turn away from the truth. They will heap on themselves teachers having itching ears, that they will not believe the truth, and they'll turn away from the truth, and God will give them over to a lie to believe the lie. And we see the same thing happening here. They believe the lie that they're not worshiping Baals. So what, you can confront somebody, but you're sinning against God this way. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I mean, we've got you on video. I don't care. I didn't do it. I've seen video. There's been hidden videos of people with a maid going into a hotel room and stealing their stuff. And they go, did you steal this person's stuff? No. Because the people put a camera in the room to just watch what was going on. Actually, here, why don't you watch this? Did you steal? No. That's the sign of serious, serious demonic deception. Is when proven that somebody is sinning against God, they don't see it. I have not gone after Baals. Then God says, see your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift doomdre, breaking loose in her ways, wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind and her desire in her time of mating. Who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves in her month. They will find her. You're just like a donkey in heat. You're just going after every god that you can find. Go look in the valleys. Look at where you're going. Look at where you worship your high places. The Valley of Hinnom. How can you say that? And once again, we covered this in our men's breakfast on Sunday. The curse that is in our society today, that nobody, all the people that are getting caught in politics and everything and all these things, nobody will say, I've sinned. You know, the one that was just kicked out of the House of Reps, did he ever said, okay, you got the goods on me, I deserve to be kicked out because that was really sinful for me to do, the Republican that was kicked out. The Democrats don't get kicked out because they can do whatever they want. But if a Republican does something wicked, then they should be confessing, right? Our side should, you know, not our side, I'm not a Republican side, but the conservative side should be saying, you know what, I sinned. I shouldn't have done those things. I shouldn't have had a false persona on my social media. I shouldn't have lied to the voters about my record. I shouldn't have done those things because that's lying. It's bearing false witness to get into this place and to get this job and this power, and that was sinful in the eyes of God. Nope, everybody defends themselves. But 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Does God say we're sinners? We better agree with that. And see, that's the problem with the world. They don't want to tell God they're sinners. And I was having a long conversation with somebody this last week. We want to make sure that it's part of our communication to people that are lost. To get them to say, I'm a sinner. Not to just tell them, do you want to be a follower of Christ? Sure, I'll be a follower of Christ. Oh, you're going to be a follower of Christ? Okay, you're saved. No, they're not saved. They're not necessarily saved. Because there's a lot of people that follow Christ, and then they left him. So you have to be saved. And how do you get saved? God, forgive me, a sinner. If you die today, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to hell if I don't know Jesus, is what they need to say. I'm going to go to heaven because I know Jesus. Well, how do you know Jesus? Because I confessed my sins to him and told him I'd sinned and rebelled against him, and I wanted to turn away from my wickedness. I wanted him to change me, and I knew that I would still keep sinning, but I'm going to confess to him he's right and I'm wrong whenever I sin. Oh, that person's saved. Because otherwise, we just don't know. And here's an example. Did you hear the news today that Hulk Hogan got baptized? Hulk Hogan, he got baptized. So I decided to spend some time on this today to find out if it was a real conversion, because you just don't know what a real conversion is anymore, because everybody's a Christian. Everybody goes, gets baptized, and you know, what church was it in and everything else. So, now let me read this. This is his April tweet, X now, in April. I accepted Christ as my Savior at 14 years old, and the training, prayers, and vitamins kept me in the game. But now I am one with God. The main event theme of surrender, service, and love makes me the real main event that can slam any giant of any size through the power of my Lord and Savior. And so it is. Even now, brother, amen. Now, from that, do you know that that baptism today or this week was for a Christian, a true Christian? Doesn't mean he's not a Christian, but that testimony has nothing to do with what it takes to be a Christian. So then I went from there and I watched an interview with Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan was, you know, confessing in his foul mouth way that he's, you know, he's not into it. You know, everybody should have a religion because, you know, it is good. It makes them better people. And whether it's Islam or this or this or this, you know, they need to have religion. And so that's good that you got your religion, Hulk Hogan. So what happened to you? And then I don't want to take the time for what he said, but there was nothing in there that made me know that he is a confessor of his. He never brought up sin. I got to the point of realizing, yeah, I accepted him when I was 14, went off the rails, but you know what? I came to realize, man, I have sinned against a holy God. And I've done it through my life in various different ways. And I just decided, you know, it's time for me to get right with him. And I bowed the knee, and I don't know what happened when I was 14, but I know now. I confess my sins, and Joe, you need to also. You need to confess you're a sinner and get right with you. Nothing like that. So I don't know. You know, we can't know. But he's a Christian. He's going to be advertised. He got baptized. And here's another quote out of Fox8Live.com. Hogan expressed the significance of his baptism, highlighting his deep faith. He remarked, "Total surrender and dedication to Jesus is the greatest day of my life. No worries, no hate, no judgment, only love." Do you know he's a Christian? Not from that. I hope he is. Be nice if he is. But we just don't know. We should never leave any confusion with anybody that's talking to us. Are you a Christian? Yes. Why? How long do you have? Let me tell you what it takes to have a faith in Jesus, to trust him to save us from sin. You know, Jeremiah 2:23 again. How can you say I'm not polluted? I have not gone after the ball. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift doomsday. breaking loose in her ways, a wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind in her desire in her time of mating. Who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they will find her. All the idols are going to find her because she's going after the idols. You're rebelling. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. You know, what he's saying is, and this is my take on it, stop running after lovers until you lose your horseshoe. That's what I think it's saying. And stop running the marathon to the point that you're panting and thirsty because you're just going after the idols of the world. But you said, you responded to me giving you that rebuke. How can you say you're not going after them? You're just like a lust-filled donkey, horse, whatever. And stop going after them. Just turn away, repent, confess your sin. And what did they say? What did the Jews say? But you said, there's no hope. God, save your breath. That's what they're saying. No, for I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. I don't go after the balls, but now that you mention it, I do. And I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to confess sin, and I'm going to keep on doing what you're telling me not to do, because it's sinful against you. As the thief is ashamed when he is found out, because of the consequences, only consequences, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. Again, worshiping idols that were whittled out of trees or were chiseled out of stones. For they have turned their back to me and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. You're only ashamed now. You're only even acknowledging God. You're only crying out to God because you're in a foxhole and the shells are coming in. That's why. That's because these people are coming after you. You were worshiping idols, but now when trouble comes to your country, you kind of remember this God thing that you had before. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can and save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods. Every city has its own idols, O Judah. Why will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. Go after your lovers. And you know why he says that, but then in the next chapter he goes, but you know what, actually, if you just stop it, I'm going to love you and have a relationship. If you just confess it, we can get back together. Verse 30, in vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. I have chastened you by... He's saying, how did he chasten them? He says, I have chastened you, children, but you receive no correction. How did he chasten the Jews? How did he chasten the northern 10 tribes of Israel? With the prophets. Tell them, stop it, or the Assyrians are going to get you. How am I chastening Judah? With the prophets that had come, now Jeremiah, and what do they want to do? They want to kill the prophets. And what were the prophets telling them? You're sinning. Now this should be so much, again, for us to disciple ourselves as Christians. Let's say you're sinning in some way. Let's say you sin against God, you got drunk, and somebody, a friend, a family, or whatever, finds out about it. And they say, you know what, it's sinful against God to get drunk. You know, you need to clean that up in your life. And you feel like just kicking them out of your house for bugging you. There's a problem. Remember this study. We should be able to exhort one another, and that's what the Bible says. Exhort one another to walk in the truth. If somebody goes and sees somebody sinning and goes to them, you know that you've saved a brother. But see, that requires us to not do what the Jews did. It requires, sister, brother, you're right. I sinned against God. My mouth got out of, I let go with my mouth. I let go with this. I got hatred. I acted, wickedly towards you, et cetera, et cetera. Forgive me. And God, forgive me for doing this because I'm a child of God and you're in my heart and you're trying to change the way I am. We've got to learn from Jeremiah 2,600 years ago. We got to learn from him 26 plus 100 years ago. To apply it to today. God's people should be quick to say forgive me to God, mostly. And but they just wanted to kill the prophet, so they want to just beat up on the person that comes to him. Oh, generation, see the word of the Lord? Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are lords, we will come no more to you? Was God a stranger to them? Cloud by day, fire by night, for, you know, decades of their life? They're in the temple, Shekinah glory in the temple, which was still existing in Judah at the time. The Shekinah, have I been distant to you? And yet you say, we're not going to come to you. We are not going to do what you tell us to do. Can a virgin forget her ornaments? Verse 32. Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore, you have also taught the wicked woman your ways. Also, on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. Yet you've lost your way. And once again, the land of the free, home of the brave, America, you know, built on the fear of God for the most part, forgot our ways, and we're not even blushing anymore how much we've departed from the law of God. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, there can't possibly be a newscaster God-fearing Christian in America today. Because you have to accolade everything about LGBT to do so. I mean, there's no blushing about anything that's going on. You have to take the liberal, progressive, you know, stance on everything in all of the media. Because there's no... God's not saying it. They're not even doing it in secret anymore. It is out in the open and they don't even blush. Yet you say, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. We haven't sinned against you, God. These attacks by these foreign nations, they're going to go away because we're God's chosen people. And later on they're going to say, yeah, God would never wipe out the temple. Yeah, Jeremiah, you're saying the Babylonians are going to come and destroy this city and destroy this temple. That can't possibly happen. We're God's people. And you say, I'm innocent. And what God is saying the whole time is just say you're sorry. Just confess your sin that you're rebelling against me. And I'll put a cloud of protection around you. Behold, I will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. I have done nothing. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. You're looking for these other people. You're not looking for me. You're not repenting. And so you're going to get destroyed first by Egypt. You know, actually, Egypt comes at first to do their, you know, to take away some of the stuff out of Jerusalem. And then Babylonians come. You're putting a trust in Egypt as an ally. They're going to come and actually attack you. And then you're going to still put your trust in Egypt, but Babylon's going to wipe out Egypt and you. Jeremiah 2:37. Indeed, you will go forth from him, from Egypt, with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected your trusted allies, and you will not prosper by them. Sign of a true Jew then, willing to confess their sins and repent. Sign of a true Christian today, willing to confess their sins and repent. That's a true sign. And, you know, again, Hulk Hogan, all these other people, you know, that are, everybody's a Christian now, and yet you hardly ever hear about sin. You ever, hardly ever hear, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. You hardly ever hear, you need to be born again, which happens to have been started by a very unpopular prophet. His name was Jesus. You got to be born again. And Nicodemus and all the others came to understand to be born again is to say, God, forgive me a sinner. I want to be forgiven and give my life to you in service. And then we will get into chapter 3 because I alluded to it earlier. And as far as this goes, and the whole chapter is really tied to chapter 2, but we're not going to have time. But let's do this part. They say, because it's in the Bible, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? Deuteronomy 24:3. I'll read it to you. Would it be not greatly polluted? Yes, that's what the law of God says. Deuteronomy 24:3. If the latter husband, after giving the divorce, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, the one that she remarried, you know, she leaves her husband, goes to another man, that husband detests her, writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies, who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination for the before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Now, I think God put this in law for one specific reason, to just to be able to, in Jeremiah, years later, use it as a type. Why is it an abomination? Well, you know, here's an analogy. When I got out of the Navy, I was like, I want to get out of the Navy, but I can always go back. I can always go back, which I found out I couldn't, because on my final night, they asked me if I sleptwalk, and I said, yeah, I did, because I was so exhausted sometimes that I was sleepwalking a couple of times, so Anita caught me doing so. And so I put that down. Oh, well, you're not coming back. And I go, what? And they go, the Navy won't take you back if you do sleepwalking. They don't want you walking off the deck of the ship in the middle of the night or whatever, which you can't do on a submarine. So they could have put me back. But you know what? I was so freaked about that they gave me my medical records to take with me while I was on terminal leave. And then, you know, and then I was supposed to turn them in at the last duty station when I was on terminal leave. And I thought to take that sheet out of there. You know, somehow my exam got lost because they didn't have all the carbon copies and all that stuff back then. And then the Lord just said, no, Kevin, you're not coming back. And, you know, I got a peace, but I was kind of freaked about it. And you know what? God wants us to be freaked about leaving God. Yeah, you know, I think I'll backslide for a year or two. You know, get back into the flesh, get back into drugs, get back into drinking. I can always go back to God, the grace of God. Jesus forgives, so why not go sin? He doesn't want us to have that mindset. And Jeremiah is saying, God makes it in the law, you don't leave your husband. You don't leave God. Because it's an abomination to go flirt around with this other gods and then come back to the God you should have never left. Because then Jeremiah goes on to say, but you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return to me, says the Lord. You know, it's just showing, for you people, I'm saying this to show you how horrible it is what you plan to do. You've left me and you just go after other idols, but I want to have a relationship with you. I can forgive you. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see, where have you not lain with men? By the road you have sat for them like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Therefore your showers, rains, have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain in the just before the harvest that gives the crops their real plenty. You have had harlot's forehead, you refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me, my father, you are the guide of my youth? Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Jesus is saying, we're born again. We're filled with the Spirit. You can't let these bad things happen to us, even though we played harlots underneath, you know, with the other gods. God's response, verse 5, the rest of 5. Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. So Israel went and played, the northern 10 tribes of Israel went and played the harlot. And Judah watched it. Judah said, man, our northern 10 tribes, they went after harlotry the whole time under their kings. And God warned them through the prophets and sent Assyria and actually destroyed them. We should go back and worship God, but we're not going to. They took no notice. Can you imagine that? I mean, and so we can look at our country and say, it's required, according to the law of God, it's required for kings to know the word of God. So for us to be a God-fearing country, we should have required it for all the presidents have to write out the word of God. That's what, the kings were supposed to write out their own law of God. And even then, our families should have taught the word of God, the churches should have taught the word of God, and we should learn from this. Look at what has happened to people that have turned away from God. Look at what happens to them. Look at what happens to people that backslide. They want to just get off into the lust and the pleasures. They want to get into things and destroy their family. You know, last week I was talking, you know, very similar to this. I got a call from a friend of mine in a different state. And he's going, Kevin, here's what I'm dealing with. I mean, there's this family in the church, and the husband and the wife, they have children, and the wife just wants to go after every guy. And in fact, just told her husband, you know, I really like this guy, but here's the deal. We'll have dinner together as a family, and then I'm going to go spend the night with him. I'm going to live with him at night. They're both professing Christians. They're both going to his church. And so I said the obvious. She's not a Christian. You know, so, I mean, what you need to do is circle the wagons around the guy who truly is born again. I mean, he said, you know, he's all in. Yeah, he's all in. She's not. She can't even confess and see that it's the evil. And so you protect the children and the guy from a woman who is professing something that's not really true. And see, this is exactly what's happening here. I'm okay. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I like that guy better. I'm eating dinner with you. I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, we've gone psycho. It's called a complete narcissistic psycho is sweeping over our country. And it's getting into the church. We need to be quick to ask for forgiveness for sin against God, against people, and not be part of this slippery slope that's governing the rest of the people that are around us. Amen? How many of you are sinners? How many of you have confessed to God? I mean, truly gotten on your knees, and not that you're born a Christian, raised a Christian, always a Christian, but there was a time in your life that you said, God, forgive me, a sinner. Better be every hand. Because if not, you need to do that. You're not a Christian because you come here. You're not a Christian because you read the Bible. You're not a Christian until you've confessed to God that I have sinned against you and I was on my way to hell before I trusted in you as my Savior. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would just help us to learn from your Jews, your history, God, that is just as alive and well today as it was 2,600 years ago. And God, we grieve over the deception that is sweeping our land and sweeping into the deceptions, even in the churches and stuff, that the gospel's not being preached anymore for the most part. Sin is abounding without even being recognized or confessed. And we just pray that you would just help us, God, to walk in the Spirit as you've commanded us to, that we would agree with you and we'd humble ourselves before you and trust in you and be a light to the world of the true gospel that saves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, tomorrow.
The only way you can face tomorrow is either put your head in the sand and not think about a thing that's going on. Or you can have your, you can be sitting up and because he lives. Because he lives and he is coming again and he has bought and paid and purchased us and seal of redemption on us, we know where we're going. And this world doesn't matter as much as it does to the other people that have put their hope on the world. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.